Take my life. Let it be wholly consecrated to thee. That is revival. That's what it looks like when your life has been revived. Too many of us settle into our Christianity, kind of like marriage. Remember when you first got married? It was love, 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 love. After a few years, well, he lives here. When you revive a marriage, you revive love. And it's never too late to be down at Walmart. See, that couple's been married almost 70 years, moving very slowly up that aisle, holding hands. You see, that's what love looks like. It's never too late to revive the love in our marriage. Now, you may say, well, you don't know him like I do. But you do. You did fall in love with him. Didn't you fall in love with her? Revive your love. That's what it looks like to revive our life with God. To revive our love. To go back to the first love. Take my life, O Lord, and let it be consecrated to thee. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to be in your presence again. Pour out your Holy Spirit, freely move among us, show us the fruits of the Spirit, speak clearly, and Lord, don't let us wiggle out of anything. Talk directly to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Be revived. Be revived. Because God has a plan for your life. I have only a few minutes to share with you. Oh, by the way, we have folks watching all over the world. You know that Alaska is making a fuss around the planet. Isn't it your turn? Isn't it about time the program doesn't come from L.A. or, you know, the usual places? Now it's Alaska speaking up for Jesus, talking about what? Being revived. I have my uncle and auntie been here since 1949. I got 10 cousins in town. So I'm not a native Alaskan, but I can pretend from time to time. We do have blood up here, and I praise the Lord that my family loves their home state of Alaska. You know, I have dear friends, David Sandoval, his wife Carmen Soto de Sandoval. They live in Punta Arenas, the lowest point on planet Earth. The bottom little tip island of South America. And it's just across the channel from Antarctica. And they're all excited because I was down there. Now we're up here near the Arctic. So they're kind of like, we're on the other side of the globe. And it's cold out here in the summer too. Of course, right now it's winter down there. But it's all the same when the further north and the further south you go. You see, folks, revive is a global possibility. Why does somebody else get the revival? Why do we have to read about it somewhere? Why do we have to see it? This is our turn to be revived. Don't you agree? Or did you just come out? Well, let's just go see what it's about. Is that why you're here? Or is the Lord calling you to revival? See, you may have accepted Christ a long time ago, but don't get settled because the Lord has a plan for your life. Tonight's passage is drawn from Daniel's chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. God had a plan for the life of a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And in chapter 1 of Daniel, we see that Nebuchadnezzar, who had been a great general, conquered Israel and took members of the royal family to serve him in the palace. They had to be healthy, brilliant, and good-looking, which means I would not have survived the invasion. I know my place. When looks were handed out, I missed the meeting, but you know what? Jesus is coming again, and I might just be able to catch up to where I was when I was a teenager when my poor wife fell in love with me. You see, brothers and sisters, these young men were taken to Babylon, and we're told in chapter 1 that the Lord, you can see through a study of the first four chapters of Daniel, that God wanted to reach Nebuchadnezzar because he had a plan for his life. He was a gifted king, a powerful military leader with skill and brilliance, but he did not know God. God has a plan even for those who don't know him, because he'll send you and me to find him. So these four kids from the royal blood of Israel found themselves in the palace of the king, and they were now going to be trained for 3 years in the University of Babylon to learn about Babylonian gods and traditions, values, astrology, astronomy, and the different sciences that came from Babylon. And while they were there, they were to eat the king's own food and drink wine from his own table. And these kids told Aspenaz, the leader of the eunuchs, "We don't eat that stuff." But they didn't say, it doesn't say here, because our church doesn't let us. You see, they didn't eat those things because they wanted to be healthy. That's a big difference. Because there are folks who say, "Oh, you're not supposed to eat that. Why can't we have anything delicious?" See, when you give it that kind of a spin, it makes the Lord look like he's strict and unreasonable. That's not the point. They said, "We got to take care of our health. If we're going to have 3 years of education, our brains actually have to work." Now, that's a novel idea in today's society. So they say, "We want legumes and water." You know what legumes are? Beans. This Mexican understands the value of this food. Amen. And so you see, these boys are eating legumes. That's also nuts and grains. And they're drinking water. They don't need to drink liquor. And guess what? We're told here at the end of chapter 1 in verse 18 and onward. "Now at the end of these days, the king has said that he should bring them in, these four boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they tested 10 times wiser than all the other boys." So the king brings them in. Verse 19, "He communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore they stood before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, the astrologers, and all in his realm." It says everything except that Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar accepted God. God tried to reach Nebuchadnezzar through what's called a health message. Because it's a right arm, you know. If you're a boxer and you're right-handed, the right arm is the dangerous one. If you're a lefty, a southpaw, then it would be the left hand of the message. The health message is powerful, because if this body is healthy, so is this brain. Now, it may not seem important until you need it. And wisdom, when frontal lobe begins to interact with temporal lobes, when you have serotonin flowing, and so suddenly neuroactivity is occurring, and you're able to reason frontal lobe and now take action temporal lobes, and now it goes to your brain stem and your whole body responds. Now reverse the process. Hurt this body, you hurt this mind. How could God communicate with you if you cloud this mind? So it's not about you're not supposed to. It's a wise thing to take care of your body. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't respond. Others do. Others say, "The moment I started eating like that, I got over my cholesterol problems. My triglycerides came back into place. I lost the weight. I'm even off of my diabetic medicine." You see, if you take care of your health, powerful things happen. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't respond in chapter 1. So chapter 2 happens. He had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had one of those nightmares. Have you had one of those? Where you wake up screaming and carrying on and such, and you even pounded the wall if it's nearby? And in the morning, "What was that about? I forgot. But what's the hole in the wall? I don't know. That's why my hand hurts." You see, sometimes a nightmare is forgotten because it's a short-term memory situation. Your brain is sorting through things while you sleep. And once you're into REM sleep, your brain is sorting things out and filing them away. And when you can't file it away, say it's a traumatic thing, an accident, someone you love passed away, you've been in combat, you've seen violence up close, then your brain can't put it away. That's called a nightmare. And Nebuchadnezzar could not he knew something was happening, and he brought the wise men of Babylon in, but they were jealous of the guys who did 10 times better than them, so they let them sleep through it. And they went to the king, and the king said, "I've had this terrible dream. Tell me what I've dreamt. Please tell me, and then tell me what it means, because I know it's important. The gods must be wanting to say something." And the wise men just looked at him, "Oh, king, live forever. There's no man on earth." You guys told me you can talk to the gods.
Yes, O king, live forever.
That was, by the way, how you greeted the king, live forever. Didn't matter what, live forever. It's kind of like the president of the United States. It's always, thank you, Mr. President. That's the proper, I've met a few presidents. Thank you, Mr. President. He may tell you you're ugly. Thank you, Mr. President. It's always the protocol, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. If you're about to leave, thank you, Mr. President. And it's just, O king, live forever. Nobody knows what you dreamt. And he got so angry, he ordered the killings of all of his wise men, astrologers, soothsayers, musicians, Chaldeans, and everybody else who served. And when the general went to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he says, run for your lives. I have orders to kill you. He says, why? The king is mad. And wise guys are not what he's happy about right now. Well, take us. He'll have you killed. So we die. Take us. And Daniel said, O king, live forever. What's the matter? I had this dream. Well, let me consult with the Lord. He reveals secrets and he could tell the king what he dreamt. You're not Stalin, are you, son? No, I'll be back in 24 hours. Put a guard at the house. And that night, poor Daniel twisted and turned and broke into a cold sweat and woke up also. He had the same dream. Take me to the king before I forget it, you know. And so they head on over to the palace and they wake up the king. Oh, king, live forever. There is a God that revealeth secrets. Oh, king, you saw while lying in your bed a giant statue that reached up into the heavens with a head of gold, with a chest and arms of silver and thighs of brass and his long legs of iron and the most bizarre athlete's feet we'd ever seen. Iron and clay that just doesn't work out. It never works out. And so then, O king, you saw a giant stone cut not by human hand, which means it was cut by a divine hand, not a human hand. It came down and smote the image, destroyed it, and then turned it into powder, and the dust blew away the powder, and the rock grew until it covered the planet. That's it. That's it in all of its details, says Nebuchadnezzar. That's exactly what I dreamt. Look, I'm sweating again. Oh, king, live forever. Let me tell you the interpretation of it. You, O king, are that head of gold. The most precious metal? The head that controls everything? Yes, sir. But after you... Wait. My kingdom shall last forever. Sorry, sir. After you, an inferior kingdom, like silver is inferior to gold, is going to conquer you. That is theoretically and physically impossible. Then after them, a less inferior kingdom of bronze will conquer them. And then this brutal iron kingdom is going to last a long time. And that's the kingdom when Jesus was born. Children under 2 years of age were slaughtered under that kingdom. And finally, Jesus himself was assassinated by that kingdom. And then the last 10 kingdoms, those 10 toes, that talk peace, 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 and they just don't get along. Until God, that rock cut not with human hand, will smite the kingdoms of this earth, and God will establish his eternal kingdom. And the king was overwhelmed in Daniel chapter 2. And he says in verse 46 and onward, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and he worshiped Daniel. That's a very impressed king. And he commanded they should offer praise and sweet odors and perfumes on him. Then the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. And you can reveal this secret even what I dreamt. Then the king made Daniel a great man. He made him prime minister of Babylon. Now you'd say, well, the Lord is trying to reach him now through prophecy. There are some who don't respond to a health message, but they do respond to prophecy. Some who respond to prophecy, but not to a health. You see what I'm saying? The Lord has many ways of reaching people. And this time it was by telling them what is to come, so that as prophecy is fulfilled, you can see the hand of God throughout history, and then therefore the future is secure. And so now, Nebuchadnezzar's inspired, but he does not respond to God. He was a great king, a brilliant king, a powerful man, but he did not have God in his life. And God had a plan. Even at this late stage of his career, you assumed he reached the pinnacle. God had a plan for his life. chapter 3, you could tell that Nebuchadnezzar was, well, what do you mean, the head of gold? Head of gold. He made an entire statue of gold, not just a head. And it was 60 cubits high from elbow to fingertip of a man. That's about a foot and a half. That's 90 feet of gold. That sounds very Alaskan to me. It's probably a bear or something. Made of pure gold. You know, some of these veins are really producing some stuff. You guys are popular in more ways than one. And so imagine finding one of those in your backyard. You know, I was digging and the shovel just, wait a second, that's shiny. Imagine finding that thing in your yard. Wouldn't that just be the ultimate fantasy? 90 feet of gold. I think I've retired now. He made this gigantic statue that looked just like him, and it was very common for kings to declare themselves deities. In Rome, the Caesar was considered a god. Among the Egyptians, the Pharaoh was Ra incarnate. His brother, the moon, his sister, the sun, he was considered a god. So I guess Nebuchadnezzar says, I'll become the latest deity. And they brought in all the leaders of the world, and the three governors of the top three provinces, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were standing in the back. But Daniel was out of town. Prime Minister was busy with state business. And they had a worship service. They had musicians and Chaldeans and all kinds of people on this side. And when they play the music, he says, everybody's going to worship the new statue, the new God. And if anybody's confused about worship today, see those three ovens? If you're confused, we'll just throw you in. You will be the potluck. And so when they played the music, everybody hit the ground and they began to worship. And then the king felt good. Look at this. Look at this. And the general comes up. Oh, king, live forever. Did you say everybody had to worship? Yes. There are three men from the children of Israel standing back there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some 20-something kids standing back there like, wait, you going to pray to this rock over here, this gold thing? I don't think so. We worship the Lord. You know, that's what they're 20-something, right? It's kind of like, you know, like, I'm not kind of like worship, you know, like, whoa. Now, if it's you or me, I would never find myself worshiping such a terrible thing. But a kid, dude, I'm not into this action, dude. You know, like, I'm not going, you know, I lead my province, but, you know, I'm not going to, like, worship this. I mean, dude, serious. Okay? See, you got to remember, these were young men. These were not our age. I hope young people are watching. I got your back. And so, now watch this, brothers and sisters. Suddenly the king said, bring them. You guys are my top guys. You're 10 times smarter than everybody. What are you doing? Oh, king, live forever. No, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to say there was a mistake because you were in the back. You didn't hear. And I'm going to announce again, and when the music plays, you're going to worship like everybody else. Remember, Babylon always wants you to worship like everybody else. And so then, the music played. King, live forever. We're not going to pray to this thing. I mean, we love you. You're the man. But it's like, even if we die, sir, respectfully, we're not going to pray to this thing. Even if you could bind them, and they were bound. Bring my mighty men. These were the soldiers that were willing to give their life for the king. Just today, I received an email from one of my kids. He's a United States Navy SEAL. And he said, Pastor, I'm over here studying right now, and I want you to know that I still serve my God. As, you know, and he said, I still love my country and I serve my God, and I've been having Bible studies with the guys. And so that's a mighty man. They're willing to die. They go into impossible situations where no one else could survive. These people are more than human. They love their country so much. They gladly, willingly, freely give their life for their country. I come from an army family, and I praise the Lord that since World War I, we've worn the uniform. Now, let me tell you something. Our position is not to, we don't encourage our young people to sign up. For whatever reason, many of our people serve, and we stand to support our people. And it's important. I've gone out to preach to our troops in Germany, and there's, the Pentagon's talking about me maybe going out to Afghanistan. If the comedians and rock stars can go out there and make noise, why not someone go out and talk to Jesus on the battlefield? So we're talking about. So I'm telling you right now, when the king said, "Bring my mighty men, oh king, live forever," these guys meant it. Take these men. Heat the oven up 7 times. The oven was glowing in broad daylight like a kiln. And these mighty men ran. And as they threw the 3 young men into the ovens, they burst into flames. They knew they were going to die, but they gladly did it in the service of their king. As they burst into flames, the mighty men fell. And the 3 boys landed among coals this size. And they were really light and bright. And they were like, "Whoa, dude, it's not even hot in here." And suddenly a voice, Jesus, shows up. Don't ever forget, in your hottest, absolute worst moments of your life, Jesus shows up. Don't forget that. Some of you this very week will be tried, and you must remember the revived meeting, for in your worst day of your life, Jesus shows up. You may not feel him. You may not see him. You may not feel good inside, but he is there. And so then, brothers and sisters, I don't know what they talked about. I have to know. When we get to heaven, I'm going to look those 3 guys up. Dude, I got to know. I'm from the east side too. And I have to know. What did Jesus say to them? "I'm so proud of you. Get over here, mijo. Proud of you. I'm so proud of you." What did he tell them in that oven? What does Jesus tell his people when their faith is revived so much that they'll even willingly face fire for him? Well, the general says, "Oh, king, live forever." "Now what?" "Look in the oven." "Did we not cast 3 men into the oven?" "Yes, oh, king, live forever. But I see 1, 2, 3, 4 men walking freely, and the 4th looks like unto the Son of the God." Even a Babylonian king could identify Jesus in the fire. So he says, "Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sons of the Most High God." Wait, it's 10 seconds ago. Throw them in. Now he's, "Oh, can you hear me?" "Excuse me, Lord." "Yeah, oh, king, live forever." "Yes. Come out, I pray you. Come out. He's calling us, so kind of like, we got to go." And what did Jesus tell them? "Go back and tell them what great things God has done for you." Didn't he say that all the time when he came to Galilee? Didn't he say that when he walked on earth in other occasions? Tell others what God has done for you, because that will give others faith as well. If it gave you strength, if it revived you, then help somebody else get strength. Help somebody else get revived. Are you hearing me, church? Now you're sitting there watching the screen. Are you listening? The Lord is calling us. This is a time of revival and reformation. Enough talk. It is time to do what God has promised. I don't know about you, but this world is not my home. I want to go home. I know it's hard to leave Alaska. But if you can actually start to believe this, it's even better than Alaska. It's hard to... No, I know that takes a lot of faith. But it's actually better. For eye has not seen, neither has an ear heard, nor has it entered the imagination of people what God has planned for his ransom. You see, brothers and sisters, he's coming in the clouds with all his angels, and every eye shall see him. That includes your eyes and mine. You see, the Alaska Revive Initiative is a worldwide appeal being watched by millions of people, and you thought you were going to camp meeting. Think again. Your president and the staff have vision. Folks have been praying. When those three kids came out of the oven, the king said, "Come near me. It's too hot over there. Come near me." Have you ever noticed when you're next to a bonfire, the smoke follows you? And then you move over here, and there it comes. What in the world? Why me? And there it comes. Some say smoke follows beauty. Others say smoke follows ugly. I'm not sure which one it is. All I know, smoke has an attitude when I'm standing around. I get back to the house. You had a bonfire with the kids, didn't you? Go take a shower. Hurry. Change that clothes because it's going to smell like a smoke bomb for the next 2 years. Not even Gain or Tide can take it out. Isn't it true? So you got your mountain clothes and you got your town clothes because you don't want them to smell like a smoke bomb at Walmart. And so these kids didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Not a hair of your head is singed, says the king. He was inspired. Now we're looking at Daniel chapter 3. And so now, remember, the first time God tried to reach him with a health message. The second time God is trying to reach him through prophecy. Now the third time, it says here, then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and he said in verse 28 and onward, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel." Jesus is often called the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. "And he delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any person who badmouths the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their bodies shall be thrown into their house, and with their whole family in it, the house will be destroyed." Boy, he was convinced, wasn't he? "Do not badmouth this God, for we have seen his mighty hand." This is the same God that made him 10 times wiser. It's the same God that revealed his secrets, even what I dreamt, and he's now told me the future. Now this same God has interrupted my worship. Others are reached through worship. So please let people worship. I travel all 6 continents. And there are no 2 places that worship alike. There are places that use accordions. There are places that use pianos. There are places that use guitars. And there are places that use guitars. You know, there's a big difference between a guitar and a guitar. Guitar is more classical and more disciplined. A guitar is, amen, a natural thing. I know folks who don't believe in instruments at all. That if God wanted us to have instruments, he would have invented them, but he gave us a voice. That's the instrument. There are no 2 ways to worship that's the one way. Let people come to the presence of God. Make your church the most hospitable place. But pastor, are we going to allow sin? Never. Never. Just make sure you love sinners and that sinners feel at home at your church. I got thrown out of church the first few times I went because I didn't have a tie on. Now you can't take it off of me. But when I first came in with gang clothes, with a plaid shirt, I went to like church, Folks got scared. We don't want those street elements messing up our youth. That kid's going to start selling drugs here. And I got kicked out of churches because of my appearance. Now I only get pulled over by U.S. immigration because of my appearance. That's a different story altogether. They tell me I look Mexican. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to look like. You see, brothers and sisters, people look on the outward appearance, but God looks where? That's where our churches should be. Don't look on their outward appearance. Look where? Welcome to our church. Welcome to our church. That's easier said than done. But when you have been revived, It's time to open your mind and allow folks into your church. Don't tell me we have 10 members for the last 10 years. Make it 30 this year because you open the doors for worship. There are some who don't respond to the health message. There are some who did not respond to the prophecies, but they will respond to fellowship and worship together in the presence of God. So worship, what you waiting on? You see, brothers and sisters, this is exciting stuff. Only one more chapter to go, chapter 4. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. In his dream, he saw a gigantic California redwood. He describes it clearly. It's only 15 miles from my mama's house in Ukiah, the tallest tree on planet Earth, 364 feet tall. The guys actually climbed it and measured it with a special tape measure. That's a huge tape measure. And they measured it. This gigantic redwood, you could take 50 people and stand around it. They reach up into the heavens. They disappear into the clouds. That's what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. And he says, suddenly a voice was heard from heaven, hew down the tree and put a brass band around it. Let seven times pass over until it recognize that it is God who gives kingdoms, takes away kingdoms. It is God who can humble somebody who is proud. And then this time he didn't call his wise men. Nebuchadnezzar went straight to Daniel. Daniel, I had this dream. And he told him, and he saw that Daniel was sad. Oh, king, live forever. But this dream doesn't look good for you. This should be for one of your enemies. Well, tell me, I could take it. Don't ever listen to a man who says he could take it. He can't. You know, I could take it. Oh, you lost your job. See, he won't be able to take it. You see, we say those things, but it's just the guy thing to say. And he tells him, you are that tree, O king, and God has tried to reach you because he has a plan for your life, but you insist on it's you and your hand and your greatness and your majesty. God's going to have to step back. And 7 years are going to pass over you until you recognize that it is God who's given you everything you have, and there's more to come. And it says exactly a year to the day. So that means it really got to Nebuchadnezzar. He thought about it. It shook him up, but it didn't convert him. And so a year later, he stood in the balcony of his great kingdom overlooking the Euphrates River, one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Is this not the great Babylon that I built with my hands for the majesty of my name, for the glory of my kingdom? When suddenly a voice, hew down the tree and let seven times pass over until at that moment, Nebuchadnezzar lost his reasoning. It isn't God who did it to him. He did it to himself. All God did was, I told you I would step back. Now taste of life without my blessing. You may deny that God even exists, but he has blessed you. You may say, I'm not a religionist. I'm not asking you respectfully what you're into. But if God has prospered you, one day you can learn to look heavenward. Well, he was taken out to a barn, and his prime minister, Daniel, who knew there would be a coup d'etat immediately, held on to the kingdom because he knew the prophecy. And Nebuchadnezzar was in a barn, and he ate the grass, and he was wet by the dew of the morning. His nails grew out long like claws, and his hair came out matted and long, and he was like one of the animals. The great Nebuchadnezzar was reduced to a barn. And then, this is what strikes me about chapter 4 of Daniel. The chapter begins, I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 4, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace. Who wrote the fourth chapter of Daniel? I, Nebuchadnezzar. He wrote this chapter, not Daniel. It's his testimony. And Daniel included it in there. And then it says at the end of chapter 4, at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. He finally looked up into the heavens, and he blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. He's now talking about God's kingdom generation to generation. He's now praising him. And all, and then he says, at the same time, verse 36, my reason returned unto me for the glory of my kingdom. My honor and brightness were given unto me. My counselors and my lords sought me. It used to be him seeking his counselors and Chaldeans and soothsayers. Now they're seeking him. He's suddenly wiser than his wisest men. You see, and so now he says, I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Instead of being a tyrant, a dictator, killer of people, now excellent majesty, a benevolent king filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to humble them. Nebuchadnezzar gave his life to God. Are you listening, church? He became a son of the king, and majesty was added unto him. Great wisdom. So now his counselors sought him. And now glory and honor were added unto him. You see, God had a plan for Nebuchadnezzar, but he couldn't fulfill it as long as Nebuchadnezzar thought that he took care of business. But the day he looked up into the heavens, even though it took 7 years for a hard head to look up from a barn and finally recognize the majesty of heaven, look what happened when he did. My brothers and my sisters, God has a plan for each one of us. Some of you may say, I'm too old, I'm set in my ways. There's not much you can teach this old dog. How much you want to bet? Little piece of beef could teach any dog anything. Ain't that the truth? Doesn't matter whose hound it is. You could teach him to sit, heel, roll over, as long as there's good food at the end of that. Brothers and sisters, none of us are too far gone to reach the pinnacles that God has planned for us. This is our time. Now, you all have a commitment card. It's one of these. I understand it's yellow. I'm mostly colorblind. I must be led. Those who say we need a colorblind society are wrong. Those of us who are colorblind don't like what we see. I'd like to look at a rainbow and see what you see. I look forward to going to heaven where society will not be colorblind. I want us to enjoy the benefit and the beauty of every color. Does that make sense? You see, now, is this yellow? Did I guess it right? Somebody confirmed it was yellow to me. I want you to look at the choices. I ask God to guide me in my life. I surrender my all to him. I choose to follow the complete message from God that is found in the Bible. Pray for me as I attempt to daily study my Bible and pray to God for guidance. You could put your prayer request in the back of the card. You can ask for additional material or a visit. Please fill out this card. This is a time of revival, and we're not playing around. Jesus is coming soon. And on this occasion, it is Alaska that has been reaching across this globe. Because somewhere I read that this gospel will be proclaimed to all the world. And now Alaska has taken its turn in this proclamation. What do you say, church? So when you go back to your hillside up there somewhere far away from everything, you just remember that a signal is circling the planet. Every one of these programs is being repeated. And you know the Lord is blessing. They're being received well, which means repeats are coming. And I'm telling you right now, those of us who do this for a living, who travel and do evangelism and see thousands of baptisms around the world at a single event, something's going on. It is bigger than you and me. And it takes revived people for the Holy Ghost to move us to the next level. I challenge you in the name of Jesus, in response to the prayers of your leadership, fill out this card. Those of you watching us on television, through the internet, through your computers, I want you to grab a phone book and look up Seventh-day Adventist Church. Call that place. Ask the pastor to come and study with you because you have made your decision to be baptized. This is it. You know the Holy Ghost is calling on you. What you have heard is reasonable, is straight from the mouth of God. I'm just a lowly preacher with the privilege of communicating to you what's already been printed for thousands of years. Come. come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers, laying down our lives to find them in the end. Come and be part of the harvest. Help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling. Faithful men, fulfill your destiny. Let God fulfill his will and his plan for your life. He told Jeremiah, I have plans for you to prosper you. I promise I'm not going to hurt you. To prosper you, to fill up your church and to fill the community with you. See you out there in the elements. Mm-mm. I was out there in shirt sleeves today. All these folks in jackets were staring at me. Imagine someone from the lower 48 with shirt sleeves today, relaxing in the gorgeous breezes of Anchorage.
Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers, laying down your life to find it in the end. Come and share the harvest, help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling faithful men. Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers, laying down your life to find it in the end. Come and share the harvest, help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling faithful men. Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers, laying down our lives to find them in the end. Come and share the harvest, help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling faithful men.
May I pray with you? Come upon us, O Lord, and fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Revive us, that we might fulfill the plan you have for our lives. Do a miracle. Fill us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.